Well, this year we're not looking at the classic Christmas text, but some very important verses. And the one I want us to look at this morning is 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich. So even though this verse isn't the account of the birth of Jesus Christ, what we have here is really a wonderful summary of the Christmas message. And I just want to bring three things out of this verse for us this morning. Number one, Jesus was rich and he became poor. That's what happened 2,000 years ago. He who was the Son of God, he who dwelt in heaven's courts, left all that behind and came down into this world, this sin-sick world. He who was the eternal God became a man, and a baby was born in Bethlehem, who was both God and man, two natures, one person. Now, that's the first truth in this verse. And I'm always struggling to find illustrations to show the humiliation that involved for Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to come all the way into this world, the poverty that he took upon himself in doing that. George Orwell has a novel, Down and Out, in Paris and London, and he spent some time living as a tramp. And that's a pale reflection of what Jesus Christ did. But George Orwell wasn't that rich. He was a writer, and they tend to be very poor, don't they? So there isn't that degree of humiliation. I mentioned to some of you this Christmas the Prince of Wales. He left Buckingham Palace and went all the way to Neuadd Pantycelyn in Aberystwyth. Now, that must have been quite a difference. I was a student in Pantycelyn Hall of Residence, and it's nothing like Buckingham Palace. And even in my day, they still had the royal suite where Prince Charles lived. But he was only there for 6 months. He didn't spend a lifetime in Aberystwyth. And so even that isn't a sufficient picture of what it meant for another royal person, not the son of the Queen of Great Britain, but the son of the King of Kings, for him to leave the palace of heaven and come into a dirty stable, and then for him to grow up in Nazareth, and then for him to humble himself all the way to the cross. Now, he who was rich became poor. The early church fathers, some of them weren't that good theologians, but they loved Jesus Christ, and they were amazed at this. Let me read what one of them said. Hilary, her name was. This is how she put it. What worthy return can we make for so great a condescension? The one only begotten God, ineffably born of God, entered the virgin's womb and grew and took the frame of poor humanity. He who upholds the universe, within whom and through whom are all things, was brought forth by common childbirth. He at whose voices archangels and angels tremble, and heaven and earth and all the elements of this world are melted, was heard in childish wailing. The invisible and incomprehensible, whom sight and feeling and touch cannot gauge, was wrapped in a cradle. We were raised because he was lowered. Shame to him was glory to us. He being God made flesh his residence, and in return we are lifted anew from the flesh to God. He was rich, became poor for us. And then the second truth in this verse is even more amazing. For your sakes, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor. Now, those of you who attended the neighborhood carol evenings with me speaking, you'll just have to bear with me here, because I'm using the prop that I used for those. I had the privilege of attending the Messiah concert in St. David's Hall, and I've still got the ticket here to prove it. And it cost £9, this ticket, but I didn't pay for it. Somebody else paid for it. For my sake, as it were, they did what was needed. I have a friend who gave me this ticket. But what greater love is in Jesus Christ? What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. So he didn't leave heaven and come down to earth. He didn't humble himself all the way to Calvary for his own sake. He did it for you and for me as our substitutes. He only was good enough to pay the price for sin and to unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. I wonder, have you seen that? That it is all of Jesus Christ, salvation, that he did all that was required. He was my substitute. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. He carried my sins far, far away for our sakes. And then the third truth, and this is the best thing. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Maybe at this Christmas time, you are financially in the red after spending so much. And that is what we are like spiritually. We are in debt, and we cannot pay it back. It would take an eternity to pay back an infinite God. But Jesus Christ on the cross, he paid that debt too great for us with his own precious blood. And then, we then are not just left forgiven because he has taken the punishment for our sins, but his perfect righteousness is put into our account so that we're in credit. Now, isn't that making us rich? That God doesn't see me in Christ as a poor sinner, but he sees me as one who is perfectly righteous. Let me use again this ticket as a prop here. How rich can I become if I have Jesus Christ this morning? Well, it says here that this ticket, as I said, cost £9. How much did it cost Jesus Christ to pay the debts for your sins and mine, to open the way to heaven? It didn't cost him a small amount. It cost him his own precious blood. You can't get anything more priceless than that. Divine blood was shed on that cross so that we could be forgiven. What did this enable me to do, this ticket that was paid for? Well, it enabled me to go into St. David's Hall and to sit at the top, not near the stage, at the top. What did the payment that Jesus Christ made on that cross, what did that open for us? Oh, it didn't just give us an access into a concert hall. It gave us an access into heaven itself. And this is what Jesus Christ promises to all that are his. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. Oh, it isn't a little place that we will have in heaven, but a mansion. Oh, I was preaching at a funeral a week or so ago, and the lady who died lived in a flat. And I was telling the grieving family that she no longer resided in a flat, but that she now had a mansion in glory. Wonderful. That's how rich we are in Jesus Christ. You may be leaving this service this morning and going back to a little terraced house or a small bungalow. And my friend, one day you're going to be dwelling in a mansion in glory. That's how rich you are. I'm not just forgiven. I'm not just accounted righteous. I have an inheritance ahead of me. What else did this ticket enable me to do? Well, it enabled me to be in a concert. Have you been in a concert? I love Handel's Messiah. And the problem when I'm in a concert is I can't sit quiet. I want to sing with them. And I don't know if you're supposed to do that in St. David's Hall. But it was only 2 hours long. When we're in glory, we're going to be all singing, and we'll be singing forever. Oh, and the song will be one song. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. And you know what it's like in this world when we are in a service of worship. Sometimes find so many distractions and we want it to finish. And even when God does draw near to us, we still have to part. And oh, it's not going to be like that in heaven. It's going to be one long Sabbath. And when I was a boy, when I heard that heaven was going to be one big Sabbath day, I dreaded thinking of going there. But once I was saved, the Sunday became the best day of the week, because now my soul was being fed. And to think that heaven is going to be one long Sabbath is the greatest prospect ahead of us. Well, my friends, this is what Christmas is about. Jesus Christ was rich, became poor, not for himself, but for your sake and mine, so that we, dust of the earth, might be raised heavenwards by God's almighty plan. That we, who are nobodies, might become members of the royal family of heaven, where king's sons adopted into that family. I don't know what Christmas is going to be like for you. I trust you're going to be with family and you're going to have an enjoyable day. But maybe you're going to go home and be by yourself, and it's going to be painful and lonely. Oh, remember, in Christ, you are part of a very big family. And it is all of grace. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can I finish by asking you, do you know the grace of Jesus Christ? Is Jesus Christ your friend who has paid the debts and who has lavished these things upon you. This isn't a carol, but listen to this, and then I'll finish. I have a friend, can you say this, whose faithful love is more than all the world to me. 'Tis higher than the heights above and deeper than the soundless sea. So old, so new, so strong, so true. Before the earth received its frame, he loved me. Blessed be his name. And then, long as I live, my song shall tell the wonders of his matchless love. And when at last I rise to dwell in the bright home prepared above, my joy shall be his face to see, and bowing then with loud acclaim, I'll praise him. Blessed be his name. Let's